Cape Talk, Car Talk.
Right, time to tackle your motoring queries and bring you some info on the latest new releases to market and more. Chira de Siena of cars.co.za is standing by to tackle those questions. Call us now on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Chira, always great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pippa. Thanks for having me.
And I'm going to start with my old faithful question. What have you been driving this week?
Ah, thanks. Yeah. Very rarely get the opportunity to test the Lexus, unfortunately. They don't bring too many new models out. They've got a fairly small range. But I was happy to be sent their flagship called the RX350L. The L just means it's a bit longer, and it's got 7 feet instead of 5.
Okay.
I always actually enjoy my time with Lexuses because they are extremely comfortable. And I don't know if I'm just getting old, but I really like extremely comfortable cars. These days the sort of big Germans and the Porsche Cayenne, that sort of cars, X5s, they sort of go for a more sporty angle, and they are great handling cars. But if you're not really interested in that, there are actually very few options on the road. And I think if comfort and luxury and sort of quietness out on the road is what you're looking for, then Lexus is actually a very interesting alternative. The design can be a little polarizing, I must be honest. I don't know if you've seen the latest Lexus designs yourself.
I haven't, no.
Okay, yeah, it means huge, huge front grille. I think they call it the spindle. Basically takes up the whole front of the car. And lots of angles and that sort of thing. So I think the design is not for everyone. Very sort of modern Japanese design. It is for listeners who might not know, Lexus is the luxury division of Toyota. So a lot of similarities with Toyota cars. And the other thing I do like about them as well is that they're cheaper than their rivals, quite a bit cheaper, actually. You might save, for the equivalent sort of BMW, you might save yourself in the region of about 300K going for a similar Lexus. Yeah.
Okay, so definitely one to add to your consideration bouquet if you haven't already done so. Thanks for the tip there. Now, I have to ask you about road tripping, because I believe you've recently driven up all the way to Ohrabi's Falls for a shoot. The first question is, what did you do that trip in, Chira? And any advice to share with us on the back of your road tripping experience?
Yeah, so I'm actually coming to you live from the bustling metropolis of Nieuwerus.
Okay.
Which doesn't even have a petrol station, as far as I can tell. Yeah, and the police are letting us use their loo, because that's pretty much the only public loo in the entire town. So that's road tripping for you, but I obviously have to pull over and take this call. Yeah, Ohrabi's was always kind of on the bucket list. You know, there's the falls up there, which are really, really spectacular in the rainy season. Still very beautiful in winter, not as much water coming down though, but a really wonderful sight to see. Just very, very remote. And I was very happy that I was in this Lexus, because it's a long trip. It's probably about 9 hours from Cape Town. But interestingly, it's about the same distance from Joburg, so it's a bit of a triangle.
Yeah.
I think road tripping is something we don't do that often these days, especially in the era of sort of budget flights and that sort of thing. And it also can be quite dangerous, you know, out on the open road.
Yep.
It really is a wonderful way to see this country. And I think every now and then, maybe once a year, it's something to take up.
I did exactly that in July, Chira. I did a road trip into the Eastern Cape, and I absolutely loved it, and had the same thoughts as you, that we don't do it enough because it's easier to hop on a plane, and by the time you've factored in the cost of the petrol and the wear and tear on the car, with budget flights available, it's sometimes even cheaper. But you're missing out. You really are missing out on just seeing the country from that perspective. So I absolutely endorse that thought. Okay, our first question's already coming through on the WhatsApp line. Just a reminder that you can WhatsApp a question on 072-567-1567. And another old chestnut coming through that we talk about often, but I think we can always revisit. Which is more expensive to own, Chira, a petrol or diesel vehicle? Which would you advise?
So in the short term, you're going to save money with the diesel, almost certainly. Most diesel cars are more efficient, more fuel efficient than their petrol counterparts. And these days, the initial purchase price has narrowed as well. For instance, the new BMW X4, which I drove recently, the petrol version and the diesel version are on the market for exactly the same price. So you're not losing any money when you purchase the vehicle, in that particular case. anyway. So yeah, short term, you will save money. Where it starts to become quite different, and from the research that I've been looking up and reading and chatting to gentlemen like Nicol Lowe, who we had on the show recently, engineers like himself, a diesel engine and a petrol engine is not necessarily, there's no huge difference in reliability anymore. Where the maintenance factor deviates is that the components in a diesel engine are much more expensive. So your replacement costs on your important parts, say, for instance, like your injectors, are sometimes twice as much expensive as their petrol equivalent. And that's where it starts to become tricky. So when your big sort of luxury diesel or whatever it is coming to the end of its maintenance plan or warranty, that's when things can start to get very expensive.
Okay, thanks for the advice. And Anonymous, I hope that that helps you with whatever decision you are grappling with. Okay, on the WhatsApp, a question from another Anonymous asking, can oil in an automatic gearbox, which has become old and thick, cause the gears to change? Heavy at first on a cold morning, almost as if it's slipping.
Not entirely my field of expertise, unfortunately. That's sort of very detailed mechanics. That's when it's great to have a guy like Nicol Lowe handy. I don't think so. It does sound like a mechanical issue. Obviously, try changing the fluid straight away as soon as you can. If you can do it yourself, but if you can't, just rather have it done professionally, have it drained and refilled. And then as soon as, you know, if the problem still persists, then it will need to be looked at. There are a number of mechanics out there, though, in workshops who specialize in old autos or can help with an old auto. The technology is pretty old-fashioned, hasn't changed for years in the case of the, you know, your sort of old torque converter autos. So definitely have it looked at. And unfortunately, it sounds like possibly it might need to be replaced.
Okay, thanks for the advice. Let's go to the lines and say good afternoon to Jonathan in Belleville. Nice to have you with us, Jonathan.
Thanks. Yes, hi. Tiro, just a quick question. My wife and I are looking at buying a car. We live in Belleville. She travels to Paarl every day. And just based on that first question about which is cheaper, petrol or diesel, we've been looking at the Nissan X-Trail, the 7-seater, because it's actually ideal because we've got children. And so just all that extra pair of seats.
Space, yeah.
Extra space and so forth. We're looking at the 2016 model and just kind of wondering, we were thinking diesel because of the fuel efficiency and those kind of things, but hearing what you just said, I'm like, oh, shouldn't we go for the petrol? But the petrol consumption is much higher.
What are your thoughts on that one, Chiro?
Yeah, it's a tricky one because I spent Christmas with an X-Trail 7-seater diesel, and some of the best consumption figures I've ever seen in a car, especially of that size. I think for most, when I was out on the open road, I was down in the sort of 5.5 to the 100 region, under 6, which for a car that size is just phenomenal. I think the other downside that it might have changed. They might have introduced one, but I think you can only get a diesel with a manual gearbox. Does that bother you?
No. The manual gearbox is fine. That's not a problem.
Okay. Yeah. So if that doesn't bother you, then I think the X-Trail diesel is a really good buy. Are you looking secondhand? Does it have a couple of Ks on the clock already?
Yeah, secondhand, about 40,000 Ks on the clock.
Not bad. If I'm not mistaken, Nissan's warranty is 6-year, 150,000, in which case you've got quite a lot of cover still, which is great. And, I always say it's worth chatting to see if you can find a Nissan service manager and chat about what it's like to look after the car post the warranty. I did that when I bought my Suzuki Ciaz. Yeah. So, and what Suzuki were able to do for me is say, right, at 120,000 Ks, you've got to do this service. It costs you around about X. At 150, you've got to do this, etc. And then you can plan ahead.
Yes. Wouldn't a maintenance plan and extending the maintenance plan or something like that be an idea?
Yeah. So the maintenance plan, how it will work is you'll be given a quote based on the condition of the car and the mileage when it comes to extending the maintenance plan. And I suppose at that point, it's maybe worth giving me another call and we'll chat about it then. But yeah, okay. At that point, you've just got to do some math and see if it's worth it. There are very good aftermarket warranties available though as well.
Jonathan, thanks for your call and good luck with the purchase decision. Chiro, Lamley from Petty was listening to your mention of that that Lexus that you've been driving, and he's WhatsApped us to ask, when you say it's a seven-seater, do seven adults fit comfortably into that car?
No.
Okay, good question then, Lamley. Thank you. Okay.
No, sure. No, the rear, the third row seats very much for children. I think another area where the Lexus does shine is that the second row of seats is very comfortable for adults. So if you have, say, adult children or taller children, or you regularly carry four adults, the second row of seats is particularly good in the Lexus. But the third row, as is often the case with these luxury vehicles, is that the third row is just very, very cramped. I mean, you could squeeze a sort of normal-sized human in there, I suppose, but it's best for your sort of seven-year-old.
The pint-sized ones. Okay, thanks so much. Staying with Lexus, Alistair asking, when is the Lexus LC500 coming to South Africa? That's more of a sports car, isn't it?
It is. It's a really beautiful thing. I've driven it, actually.
Lucky you.
As far, it's sort of, you can imagine if you haven't seen it, it sort of reminds me of the Mercedes S-Class, BMW 6 Series, that sort of car. And it is available. Lexus will bring you one in. I think they've, at this stage, for the last I heard, they've brought in six into the country.
Okay.
So if you keep your eyes peeled on our site, for instance, you might see one coming up for sale secondhand. But as far as I am aware, Lexus will be able to bring one in for you. And let me see if I can get a definitive answer on that as well for next week.
Okay, that's a great idea, because maybe Alistair wants to be lucky number seven. Okay, we'll see if we can find out for you, Alistair. Right, Abdul on the WhatsApp line would like your view on the new Toyota Prado. Is it the VXL 4-litre petrol, and then petrol versus diesel comment as well?
Sure. Not a car I have a huge amount of experience with, but a car which has a really fantastic reputation in this country. And I suppose throughout Africa, known as a car which is a bit of a continent crusher, you know, something which if you really want to get out there and get dirty and cover some miles on some rough stuff, I think the Prado is an excellent choice. I think it's just received a refresh, which means it should be up to date with most things like its infotainment system, for instance. But interestingly, on the Prado, and this came to my attention recently, Haval is about to launch a car called the H9,
yeah,
which is essentially a facsimile of the Prado. They literally tore some Prados apart and then built a Haval out of it.
Okay.
And it's quite a lot. It's going cheaper, to be quite a lot cheaper as well. Yeah. So there's going to be a Chinese Prado on our road soon, for better or worse.
Okay. So Abdul, maybe waiting for that one might be worth your while. Thanks for your message. Right. I don't know if a week ever goes by without somebody asking about the Suzuki Swift, Chiro. And here it is again. Penelope wanting your view on the Suzuki Swift 2016 or 17.
Sure. I'm not sure if 2017 is going to cover the new one. I think that only launched this year, the brand new model. So I've always been an advocate for the Swift. We've had a few in the family, very reliable cars. And I suppose the one thing you need to know about them is that there are two Swifts on the market, one with a smaller engine and less airbags. That's sort of the key difference between the two, and it's quite a lot cheaper. One built in India, if I'm not mistaken, and one built in Japan.
Yeah.
In my opinion, not a huge amount of difference between the two if you're not so bothered about the airbag issue. It's something that's, which is quite close to my heart, seeing that I've interacted with a few of them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
For a runaround, a very fuel-efficient little runaround, quite hard to beat. The one Achilles heel of the Swift for me has always been the boot. It is quite small, but the good news is that with the new generation, they have addressed that, and the boot is actually now larger than quite a few of its rivals. And I think if you are looking at a Swift, it's worth having a look at the new one. If you can spend about between 160 and 180 grand, you can actually get the brand new one.
That's where we must leave it. Chiro de Siena, as always, thank you so much for being with us. And please check out cars.co.za for more of his articles about the cars he's been driving, comparison videos, and more information. It's cars.co.za.